Hey there, it's WAER music director and afternoon announcer Eric Cohen welcoming you to another installment of my podcast, Jazz Journeys. And on this edition of Jazz Journeys, we're going to take a look at perhaps the greatest American jazz record label of all time. It's celebrating its 75th anniversary in 2014. We're speaking of Blue Note Records. And from the jump in 1939, jazz aficionados Alfred Lion and Francis Wolfe, along with Max Margulis, followed their instincts by recording great artists playing pure jazz. The 50s and 60s were, and well, still are, considered the classic Blue Note period in relation to not only what they recorded, but the photography of Francis Wolfe, the art direction of Reed Miles, and certainly the engineering of the legendary Rudy Van Gelder. You know, the so-called hard bop of the mid-50s in New York essentially began with a Blue Note album, Horace Silver and the Jazz Messengers. And as many people know, eventually the Jazz Messengers would be taken over by drummer Art Blakey. Well, what Hard Bop did was to draw on rural blues and gospel music in finding a whole new audience for jazz. Mission accomplished. The name of the label, well, it really derives its name from the blue notes of jazz and the blues. And speaking of that Hard Bop style of jazz, the label has given us some of the all-time legendary names in jazz history. Names like Jackie McLean, Hank Mobley, Grant Green, Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, Jimmy Smith, and Horace Silver. In fact, speaking of Horace Silver, a group that was formed to celebrate Blue Note's 70th anniversary back in 2009, the Blue Note 7, covered a number of Blue Note classics, including this one, written by Horace Silver. Here's Nicholas Payton, Steve Wilson, Robbie Coltrane, Peter Bernstein, Bill Charlap, Peter Washington, and Lewis Nash, the Blue Note 7. That was the all-star group known as the Blue Note 7, a Bill Charlap arrangement of Horace Silver's The Outlaw. I mentioned the name of Rudy Van Gelder, and Rudy, at his studios in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, was really the man behind so many of the historic Blue Note recordings through the decades. And in this interview with Blue Note producer Michael Cascuna, Rudy talked about what became known as the RVG series, where he began remastering his own recordings from decades earlier. He talks about how that came about and also really what a typical day and a typical week was like back in the day for Rudy Van Gelder.
Back around 1998, Hitoshi Namikanta called me, and who's been running Blue Note in Japan since 1983, and he had another great creative idea. He asked me if I would call Rudy Van Gelder to see if he would remaster, given today's technology, his original recordings. I told him, I will call Rudy, but I can tell you right now, he absolutely will say no. I called you. You thought about it for a little while, called me back and said, yes, let's do this. The reason I thought you'd say no was because if I'd ask you questions about the past, or we'd get into reminiscing about the past or something, you always felt very strongly about living in the present and thinking about tomorrow's recording date, not looking back at the past so much. But you were very enthusiastic about embarking on this. Why was that?
Well, when you first called me, I thought, wow, this is the best job I ever had. The idea of listening to the old tapes that I made, another chance to transfer them. Since the advent of the CD, other people had been doing that. This is my opportunity to present my version of how those things should sound. What a great job this is. So to describe a day while I was practicing optometry, and that went on for 13 years, I would go to the office during the day, and then if I had something scheduled at night, I would come back and record at night. If it was Wednesday, Prestige would come in with Miles Davis, and I'd record during the day. And then, of course, it was the weekends. It was really difficult. Some days I'd have to skip the office. And some days I couldn't do sessions every day, but the pressure was there to do that. It got so busy that I had to assign each label its own day. So no matter what happened, they would come in that day. And that worked for quite a while, actually, because otherwise it was everybody, I had to balance people's schedule, the musicians and so forth. So what happened, I would assign Monday, for example, to Savoy, Tuesday to Vox, Wednesday to Prestige. And Vox, I remember one time, had 2 days a week. And then Alfred for Blue Note, he would get Friday. And every Saturday, I got a headache.
You know, the Blue Note label has also found great commercial success with the vocalist Norah Jones, as well as artists ranging from Van Morrison to Anita Baker, Al Green, and Amos Lee. And Blue Note has even ventured into the world of hip-hop, as evidenced by this groove.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening, a recording for Blue Note Records.
So whether you dig the classics from the likes of Donald Byrd, Cannonball Adderley, Hank Mobley, and Grant Green, or the new generation of Robert Glasper, Ambrose Akinmusari, Stefan Harris, and Gregory Porter. One can only hope that Blue Note Records, the next 75 years, can be just as memorable as the first 75. For more information, you can visit BlueNote.com. And to take a listen to any of my previous podcasts, visit WAER.org. Happy 75th Blue Note Records. Until next time, remember, jazz. Just four letters, but infinite possibilities.